The next case in our calendar is 95-2440, State of Ohio versus Brian Elfrink. Mr. Keeling.
This case has been certified on a single issue of whether the failure to certify the defendant of the right to blood alcohol the OMPI statute provides that the defendant who can testify to the state in an OMPI case has the right to his or her own independent blood alcohol test and that he or she must be so advised of it. This court in State versus Myers held that the failure of the state to so advise the accused is not about any questions of constitutional magnitude, so to place the issue within the purview of the exclusionary rule. However, did note that there was a possibility for statutory basis of upholding the exclusion as a remedy. There was a showing of prejudice. They held that the court held counsel from showing prejudice. The issue today is whether the particular facts in this case, coupled with the changes in the OMPI law and further clarification of the constitutional rights to access evidence by the U.S. Supreme Court, warrant the exclusion of the state. State statutes on the instant case. The Court of Appeal for Montgomery County, State versus Thurman, held that changes in the OMPI law created a situation where prejudice was now being presumed, like the situation that was dealt with in 1971. Prejudice must be presumed according to the court, since the failure to properly advise the accused of the right to the test deprived the accused of the means to establish a solid. Only possible defense in this case. Since State versus Myers, there have been numerous decisions indicating due process rights are violated and accused denied access to evidence in a manner that deprives them of his constitutional rights. The most relevant case in this regard, discussed in my brief, is California versus Mondale. That was a case where the Supreme Court of the United States held that the due process clause must support the notions of fundamental fairness, including the right of the accused to present a complete defense. To safeguard this right, the Constitution guaranteed access to evidence, a doctrine that involves where the accused is entitled to the benefit of the exclusionary rule in order to protect against in cases where the erroneous conviction could resolve.
What is your contention if they had given this and he had decided on an independent test that you would be setting up the battle of the experts? If he did not test what the state said he tested? Because we've time and time again said that, you know, that test is prima facie, you know, very close to absolute. Unless you can show that there's some defect in the testing mechanism.
I don't know if you set up the battle of experts, although there would be experts there, but you set up the battle of reliability of machines. In this particular case, it's a very close question. The test results 5,000.
But not, you say you'd be setting up the battle of whether or not the machine was accurate, but his own independent test would have been done on a different machine, wouldn't it?
A different machine and maybe different. Sometimes they do two or three different tests to try to determine which is the most accurate. In this particular case, the test results, even within the machine's, the state's own machine's tolerance limits, it could have been a second test by the state's own machine could have indicated that he was under. Say when he gives one test, obviously there's a
how would an independent, the warning that you have a right to have your own independent test, attack the validity of the state test, that even if it does set 0.00 bipolar?
Well, the issue was your blood alcohol content was measured by your breath. And if you have other test results that show that it was lower than that, then some reliability has to be cast on the state's test.
So it becomes the battle of the experts, the battle of the machines.
Well, it's not so much a battle, it's just everything else. It's just not in this particular case, you won't know. Now, there are other instances I've known, but there's one instance where the test, the state's test was 0.18, and the subsequent test indicated there's no blood alcohol in the system. So, I mean, it's not necessarily a battle of the machines.
You've seen the test?
It's a battle of the integrity of the people who administer the machines and some other things in there, but that's even what you really invite.
You've seen a test like that where the state says 0.18?
I'm aware of one.
0.18 and there was no alcohol in his blood at all?
Yeah, when he was tested at the hospital 2 or 3 hours later.
Within the 2 hours? 4 days later.
After a blood transfusion.
But there are other factors involved other than machine reliability. There's non-machine made.
But the defendant still has the opportunity to challenge the machine that did his particular test and challenge his reliability and do all of that. There's nothing that failure to give the advice doesn't prevent him from going after the original testing at all.
Well, this court is limited in that ability. Under State v. Vega, you cannot attack the validity of the general breath testing devices. In other words, you can't go in and say, hey, the doctor has a non-proven point to the malfunction of that particular instrument but you don't have access to it. It's not in your control. There's no way you can test it at the time where the test is given. The only thing real control that the defendant has is the ability to get his or her own test. We know they malfunctioned. I mean, they're state administrator said, well, it's not for you to make this decision. It is. It's not a judiciary. The legislature had to enforce, basically control the proceedings of the court. And we'll make rulings on evidence and look into whether certain facts amount to constitutional violation of prejudice. And have to do so often on a case-by-case basis, depending on the facts. The fact that there has not been a remedy applied of excluding by the legislature doesn't mean that this court is looking into the facts in a particular case and when they find either a constitutional violation or prejudice to be accused so that fairness is resolved. Unfairness is resolved if the evidence for one side would be admitted and the defendant could be challenged if he could exclude it.
Counsel, so that I understand correctly, we're really limited to addressing a real narrow question here, are we not? In this case, the certified question.
Yes.
You earlier articulated, I guess, what maybe seems fair to me, and that is, under some circumstances, the trial judge ought to exclude it. And sometimes maybe shouldn't, and that ought to be within the sound discretion of the trial judge.
Yes.
And I might look at your facts here and think that maybe it should have been excluded, given the fact he's sleeping and he's close to the line and he's tested and all of those things. And where in another case, if it's a 1-5 or a 2-0, and he was driving the car and swaying to and forth on the highway and a whole lot of other facts in support, then the second test probably isn't going to mean much.
In a close case, you can obviously see where the car is in respect.
Right.
But the problem you get in saying, well, in 2-0, you won't find prejudice. In order to do that, you won't have to presume guilt, and you're saying you haven't established prejudice in this case because the test is so high.
Okay, but
you haven't established prejudice because the state has deprived you of your only means of establishing prejudice by having it. And what you have to assume is that the state would never make a mistake in this regard, would never fabricate evidence.
There is no statutory sanction, so what is?
Well, judicial sanctions in the courts always make independent rules of
sure.
And in doing so, they're guided by the oath of office, which they, every judge in Ohio is sworn to uphold the United States Constitution, Ohio Constitution, and to administer justice fairly and impartially.
But should we really have a black letter rule that in all cases where they've failed to do this, there is an automatic sanction and propounded by the Supreme Court rather than allowing the trial judges to?
I would say yes in a case of this nature when the only way of contesting the state's obligation effectively is for the defendant to have a right to contest. Again, I liken it to the drug case where the state says destroys the drugs after it's tested and doesn't let you test it. I mean, that's inherently unfair. And when you get into that, the trumpet, it says, under the due process clause of the 14th Amendment, criminal prosecutions must comport with prevailing notions of fundamental fairness.
Okay.
Don't you think the legislature, when they pass that law to say you have an independent right, and that right doesn't mean much unless you're advised of it, that was their idea of what was fundamentally fair, that we're going to let the state test you in order to make sure that the test results are accurate.
Okay, let me ask you one other fact about this case. Your client here wasn't saying, as soon as they were through with him, or even before they were through with him, I need to call somebody, I want to get over it to the hospital and get my own blood test. He wasn't on his own volition saying, I want to get this second test. Help process says me quickly, so I think
they failed in this obligation. Had they advised him properly?
Well, even without knowing the law, I mean, if you're required to take a test and you think this is baloney. I couldn't possibly be test the way this machine or this individual is saying I'm testing, whether it's this test or some other test. I mean, we all have some times and situations in which we instinctively feel this test is nuts.
Sure.
At that point, you would be on notice to be trying to do something to...
And that's what happened in the case of 118. So I'm well aware that it could be necessary to bring this. But in those cases, what does it mean to know what it means? Do you know what the legal gun is? It's here to fight. They're not in a position to make those judgments. Or no reason. And that's what the legislature said. In order to be fair to the defendants, we want to apply the anti. So this is the only way that we can ensure equality here with respect to equal access to the evidence. If there are no other questions,
thank you, Mr. Keeley. Ms. Barrett.
May it please the court. The trial judge considered this issue before and found that there was no prejudice shown by the appellant as a result of the 33-5 second test. When this court decided State versus Meyer, it didn't set forth black letter law. It allowed in the showing of prejudice that this test result could be suppressed. There has been no such showing of prejudice here. Further, since Meyer, the legislature has amended the statute repeatedly, yet has never provided a remedy for a violation of a failure to revise.
How would the prejudice be shown in a case where sometime after the test is taken, days later, it's determined that the calibration was wrong or whatever? By that time, and the defendant is not accused, was not advised of his right to take a test. How do you make it up after that? You can't, obviously. So how do you show prejudice, I guess?
Your Honor,
is that one way to do it?
Your Honor, showing every defendant has the opportunity to observe the machine, to determine whether the proper calibration tests have been done, to determine whether the Department of Health regulations have been followed, to go to the Department of Health and make sure that the solutions they're using are proper, to check the officer to make sure that the officer who administered the test is properly licensed to do so, that the officer follows the proper testing procedures. There are a number of means of challenging the validity of the test result. In this case, the record before the appellant utilized none of this. Now, we are not sure whether the appellant went out and looked at the machine and found that everything was in order and therefore decided that there was no basis for challenging the test result, or whether the appellant and his counsel made a strategic decision not to raise those challenges. But none of those other challenges were made. A second test isn't the only means of challenging the validity of the state's test result, which is what appellant would have you believe. This court, I'm sure, is familiar with numerous challenges that have been made, some successful, some not successful, to the validity of the test administered by the state. Prejudice can be shown when one of those other challenges has been made and shows there's something wrong with the test. That didn't happen here. Further, as Justice Douglas noted, even if there is a second test, or a third test, or a fourth test, or a fifth test, all you end up with is a battle with the experts. The United States Supreme Court in California versus Trombetta looked at this exact issue in the sense of what was the second test going to get somebody. And the court there said, there's no reason to presume that the second test result is going to be any different than the first test result if all the regulations were followed.
But we have a statute that says, officer, you will advise the person of their right. The California case, I guess, doesn't sway me very much when the General Assembly has said you have a duty to advise them. And the question now is, what's the sanction? Is it, do you sanction the police officer somehow for not advising the accused? The statute doesn't say, obviously. And so we're left now with deciding what's the sanction when the statute is not followed. It expressly says, this is what you'll do, it wasn't done, what's the sanction? What do you recommend should be the sanction in a case like this? If there's no challenge to that actual test, the calibration and so forth, that the defendant really wasn't prejudiced, and so that's the end of it. That essentially that's your argument, isn't that right?
That is my argument, Your Honor, and with respect to the remedy for the violation, I'm not sure that I can put it any better than you did in the last argument where you said that it's not the place of this court to fill in the gap for the legislature. You gave, in State versus Myers, this court recognized the fact that
let's get off Myers. Myers is 150,000 years ago, back in 1972, wasn't it? We've come a long way since Myers, haven't we?
Yeah.
I mean, the penalties are greater, the consequences are dire, there's a whole lot of things now we have that we didn't have with Myers, and I think we can throw Myers away. Why can't we just follow the statute and say, it says, you got to tell a person he's got a right to have a test, and why don't we just say, if you don't do that, then you throw the test out. What's so horrible about that? Why don't you follow the statute?
Your Honor, the foundation upon which this court made its decision in Myers is still sound today and still followed by this court today.
No, I'm prejudiced. Is that it? You have to show prejudice before you can get anything done? Well, I think 0.10 is almost... that's prejudice, isn't it? That's way down the line from what it used to be. I think that we should follow the statute, don't you? Why are you trying to give the officer an out not to follow what he should be doing?
Your Honor, the trial court, Judge Jackson in this case, found that there was no prejudice. The prejudice allowed the availability of suppression when there is prejudice, allows the trial court, who hears all the facts, determine in a closed case whether or not the failure to advise the second test should warrant suppression.
I was trying to indicate, maybe very poorly, that we almost can say we can presume there's prejudice today. Can't we do that?
Your Honor, there is no basis for presuming prejudice because the other challenges to the validity of the test still exist.
So why
do you think the legislature passed this law?
Your Honor, it's not my place to speculate.
Well, I know it's not. Give me your best legal reason. They wanted the person who's driving the car to have a chance to rebut all these presumptions, and this is one of the tests that they felt were even the fairness at the scale, and say, well, now we've got to give the driver at least a chance to rebut this. Let's tell the officer, tell him he got a chance to have a test. Is that awful? Terrible.
Your Honor, the legislature, though, has chosen not to provide any remedy for a violation of the statute. The legislature has amended the statute repeatedly, and the legislature is presumed to be aware of this court's opinion in Myers, where this court said that it was up to the legislature to provide a remedy if they wanted one. Further, the defendant is not left without a means of challenging the validity of the test.
That's what I was going to ask you about. Then it would appear that it's your opinion that in order to show prejudice, there has to be some violation shown in the administration of the test. Is that correct?
Your Honor, that's one way.
What would be others? I mean, the Chief Justice asked you, how do you go about showing prejudice, and you really only addressed that. So now you're saying that's one way. What would be some other ways?
I would direct Your Honor's attention to State versus Weaver and State versus Myers, the Miami for Municipal Court case. In both of those cases, the police officers did something affirmative to prevent the defendant from being able to obtain a second test. In State versus Weaver, the police officer refused to allow the defendant access to the telephone despite his repeated request to have the telephone to make arrangements for a second test. In State versus Myers, Miami for Municipal Court case, they refused to release the defendant even after he posted bail and after he had arrangements for the test.
This test, you said
there was no prejudice, at least so the trial court found. This test is deemed under the rules of the Department of Health to be accurate if administered within how long after driving the car?
2 hours.
2 hours. Okay. How long after driving this car was this test administered to this defendant?
Your Honor, unfortunately, I'm not sure of the exact time. I know it was within the 2 hour limit that's stipulated.
No, you don't know that. He was found sleeping in the parking lot.
Your Honor, the...
So it was administered within 2 hours of his intoxicated parking, right?
Correct, Your Honor. However, his intoxicated parking under this court's prior decision constitutes operation of the vehicle, and it's within 2 hours of the operation.
But did we ever address the two-hour issue when that issue was here? I mean, that is a potential prejudice, isn't it? Here, you don't know when he drove the car. Am I right or wrong on that?
Correct, Your Honor. We don't know when he first parked.
Okay. And you don't know whether he consumed more alcohol while he was in the car?
However, his time in the car was still considered operation, Your Honor, under this court's decision.
But you don't think that, and he tests a point 105, so he's just a tick above the presumption. Correct. And since you're not sure of the time, you don't know whether he's going up or down in terms of his test result.
Your Honor, that is...
Well, unfortunately, that's not the question we get to address.
Correct, Your Honor. That was an argument that could have been made to the trial court by the appellant. Appellant's counsel chose not to make that argument. It was a strategic decision on their part, and the issue before this court is whether or not, in the absence of any evidence showing that a second test result would have been any different than the first test result, in the absence of any evidence showing that there was anything wrong with the state administrator's test, whether the trial court abused its discretion in finding that there was no prejudice and that the test result should not be suppressed.
Let me just ask you one. Are you real comfortable applying the law in this way to this defendant?
Yes, sir.
Under all the facts that you have here.
Your Honor, this defendant had very good counsel who had the opportunity to make every defense available.
I'm not asking anything. If somebody prosecuted as a prosecution bears some responsibility as well in terms of whether a case should be prosecuted or not. You're comfortable with the prosecution of this defendant under this fact pattern?
Yes, Your Honor. Because the legislature has had repeated opportunities to provide a remedy for a violation of a failure to inform somebody that they have a right to second test, and the legislature has chosen not to do so, because there was no showing of prejudice made in this case by the defendant, this court should affirm the trial court and the court of appeals decision to overrule the defendant's motion to suppress.
Thank you, Ms. Barrett. Mr. Keeling, take a minute.
Failing to advise the defendant required by law, immunize its own test result.
case is submitted, you'll be advised of our opinion. Marshal, please adjourn the court.
All rise. Hear ye, hear ye, hear ye. Results of session. The Honorable Court of Ohio. Now.